Well, if we don't have anyone, I'm going to request two volunteers. It's a little dim here, but I'd like you to come forward and read God's word. So I have six verses from the Old Testament, five verses from the New Testament. So I need two volunteers. Anybody want to bless themselves by and bless all of us by proclaiming the truth of God's word? We'll try to do this a little more. Andre, do we have a second volunteer after Andre? Deshaun, thank you. So Andre first.
First verse is from Psalm 25, verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. The second verse is from Psalm 31. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. The third verse is from Psalm 42. Verse 11. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. The fourth verse is from Isaiah 40, verse 31. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. The fifth verse is from Micah 7, verse 7. Therefore I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And the sixth verse is from Lamentation 3. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him.
The first verse in the New Testament is from Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. The second verse is from Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Third verse is from Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the fourth verse is from Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's it.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Andre, Deshaun, for reading those verses. Any clues as to what the sermon topic today is going to be from those verses? Any idea? Salvation. Yes, we all need to be saved always. Anybody else? There's no wrong answer. Hope. Yes, hope. That is it. We'll get there toward the end of the message. Let me read the last one that Deshaun read from Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. Okay, let's pray. Father, we thank you that you allow us to gather as children of God. And Lord, now we want to turn our attention to Jesus. He is the author and the perfecter of our faith. We don't perfect ourselves. We're not people who just try harder. But Lord, we are ones who put all of our hope in Jesus. So we turn our eyes, we turn our ears, we turn our heart to Jesus. We pray that you would reveal yourself. We pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that all of us would believe in Jesus more when we leave this place than when we did when we walked in. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've all driven in a car during a thick fog, I'm sure, if you've had some years of experience of being a driver, and that's a very difficult thing to do. You can barely see 10 feet in front of you, and so you turn on the especially at night, you turn on the light, and it's just the light is reflecting off the fog, and it's just a miserable experience. And some of us may also feel like you're going through a life as if it's a fog. You can't see very clearly. Another way to say it is you're in a funk. Anybody feel that sometimes, often? That you know that based on what you believe, how you're living life, it just doesn't match. There's some kind of a disconnect. And so I would say it's a fog, it's a funk. There's a loss of energy. So the same devotions that you had a little bit more energy to do, the energy is just not there. There's a loss of motivation. Like even going to church, dragging yourself out of bed sometimes is difficult. Some days a little bit of almost depression. Like what's the point? And some verses that I've been reading on this topic is Hebrews 5, verse 11. It says, you have become dull of hearing. And just honestly, I've been in a funk. There's some code words. When I say, I was up till 4 in the morning struggling with the Lord. I was up till 6 in the morning struggling with the Lord. When I say I'm praying and wondering, Lord, do you still want me to be a pastor? These are code words for Ray needs some prayer. And I hope you picked up on that. Next time I have these hints and code words, I'm basically inviting all of you to pray for me. Because for a pastor not to hear, it's like a swim instructor who suddenly had amnesia and he forgot how to tread water. It's like, why are you teaching kids how to swim when you are sinking in the pool? So a pastor, and I think even for a Christian, if we lose our hearing, if we become dull of hearing, like then we're lost. Then we're in a fog. Then we're in a funk. Then just a matter of time where the motivation is going to decline and the energy level is going to decline. Another verse, Hebrews 12, verse 3, that people are becoming weary and discouraged in their souls. So dull of hearing, in a funk. Weary and discouraged in your soul, in a funk, a fog. And then here's another physical manifestation a few verses later, Hebrews 12, verse 12. Hands which hang down and knees which are feeble. The paths are no longer straight. It's crooked. You're just going from left to right. You just can't even walk straight. And then there's a lameness that has come in. You're struggling to walk. Something's wrong with your leg, your foot, and so you're limping along. And if this if this condition worsens, eventually Hebrews 12 says you will eventually be dislocated, paralyzed, immobilized. So it's a serious thing that when we lose our hearing, after that we become weary, we become discouraged in our soul, our hands begin to droop, our knees become feeble, we struggle to walk, we're lame, and soon if this condition worsens and continues down this trajectory, you will eventually be dislocated off to the side, unable to move. And so I've been in a funk, and I don't know how long it is, but if you're in a funk for a week, maybe it's okay. If it goes beyond a week, 2 weeks, if it's a month, 2 months, then you start worrying. And I didn't quite locate when this funk started, every pastor needs a pastor. So I reached out to my pastor. I called up Pastor Brian yesterday. We started talking, and he was just trying to, you know, probe a little bit and ask me when did it start. And I said I don't know. It's been a while. And it's troubling me that it's set in for this period. And I think as we're just talking, some of you know, we've been last year we began praying for a major possible decision that would impact our entire church. The prayer went way longer than I thought it would go. I sensed things in my spirit along the way, like promotion. I sensed this is from the Lord, and I should fight for it, and I should really believe that it's going to happen. And all of that just kept growing and growing and growing. And it just, even though it was a long stretch of waiting and praying as a church, I did not lose my vigor in terms of believing that this is going to happen. And as I was talking to Pastor Brian, I said maybe the funk started when the answer came back as a no. And then right away he said, "That's exactly the way the Lord inspired me." He said, "When the answer came back as a no, that's when it started." And I did not realize I had put my hope in a job, in a promotion, in an assignment. And as soon as you put your hope in something, the person that we're supposed to hope in, Jesus Christ, the person we're supposed to look to and fix our gaze upon and listen for his voice, when our hope gets misplaced, that's when immediately I became dull. Immediately I was blind. And soon I was becoming weary and discouraged of soul, and my hands were beginning to droop. And everything that I was doing was more of a chore, and I'm struggling, I'm trying to limp along, but eventually if God did not meet me yesterday, I would have been dislocated, I would have been on the shelf. And that was 80 days to the day, 80 days. Jesus struggled in a wilderness 40 days. And that, I'm sure, to Jesus was a long time, 40 days of struggling with Satan and the tempter fatigue and starvation, 40 days. And so double that, there was an 80 day. I did not realize that much time had gone by. When I was becoming wearier and more discouraged and dull of hearing and in a funk. As soon as I identified the starting point, I already felt a lifting of my spirit. Like if you can identify, like when this funk set in, when did I start struggling with this issue? If God in his wisdom can guide you maybe through a conversation with a brother or sister, with a pastor, with a mentor, if somebody can guide you and kind of look back on how things ended up today. It might not be 80 days for you. It might be your whole life, that you're just in a funk, that you believe in Jesus, but something, there's some kind of a disconnect, and everything's a chore, and you're not that full of hope. You're not that excited to live for God. And so if you can find the starting point, that is already halfway to victory. If you can find the starting point. And so in the conversation, I said it because it didn't even dawn upon me that that's when it started, but it came out of my mouth. It was confirmed. I already felt, okay, now I know where I need to struggle in my prayer. Already half of the burden was lifted. So later that night, yesterday night, into this morning, I was praying on it. And I was praying, I knew where it began, but why is this such a big deal? And I was asking the Holy Spirit, convict me. Like, I know I misplaced my hope, but can you convict me of why this is such a sin? Can you show it to me that I may repent properly and never do this again? And the words that I was inspired by during this time of prayer is, you put your hope in a job, in an assignment, in a ministry, in a promotion. When Jesus died and resurrected for me, and isn't he the person where I should put my hope? When Jesus died and resurrected for me, how shameful is it that I put my hope in this such a small thing? To the point that when I didn't get it, I thought I was fine. But some disappointment set in, some discouragement set in. The funk started with that no, which shows that my heart was there, my hope was there, instead of Jesus. And I just felt so sorry. So sorry. How could I put my hope in a job? How could I put a hope in some promotion in my mind? Some validation to the world. See, things are moving forward. I'm not stuck. There's so much there that the Lord is still digging out. But the main repentance last night, this morning, was, Jesus, you died and resurrected for me. And my hope and my desire should be for you. And I should be waiting on you. And I should put my heart with you. I should fix my gaze upon you. I should tune my ear to your voice. And instead, I'm turning it to a job. How shameful is it? And this went on for 80 days, and I repented this morning. I started raising my hands in gratitude, in praise, in worship. I was reading Hebrews 12 about drooping hands, and so it's just spontaneously my hands are raised. No more drooping. I can raise my hands in worship again. And it says, feeble knees. And God healed my knees very gradually. Through knees over toes, through mobility exercises, but still, even though the pain was gone, I still noticed there was a weakness, a feebleness in my left knee. But as I was raising my hands in worship, I just started bending my knees and putting all my weight on my left knee, and I realized I couldn't do this the last time I checked without some weakness and feebleness. But I felt so strong suddenly in that time of prayer on my left knee. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He did it. It's a fulfillment of Hebrews 12. As my drooping hands were raised in worship after I had repented, the restoration already began. My left knee was strengthened. I started jumping. You know, it's been a long time since I've jumped. because ever since I felt knee pain, I tried to jump. Everything felt like I was stuck to the ground. I felt like it was hurting. But I just started jumping. And I felt like, man, I can almost dunk, it feels like. From being stuck to the ground to even jumping a foot, I felt like I was flying. That kind of an amazing thing happened. After I repented, my hands were raised spontaneously in worship. My feeble knees were strengthened. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God taught me a very important lesson through these 80 days. To never, ever put my hope in anything or anyone. Only Jesus. Only Jesus. That's why all the verses, it's about hope in Jesus. Psalm 25, verse 5. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. Is there something in your life that you wish, it's almost like a carrot that's dangling and you're waiting for it? And it's like, that's what I'm after. If only I get that, I'll be satisfied. If only I get that, it's a job, it's a graduation, it's a promotion, it's more money. If I get married, whatever it is, if only I had this, I'd be satisfied. The psalmist is so clear. Who do we hope for? It's Jesus Christ. We will wait all the day long for Jesus. Psalm 31, verse 24, be of good courage and he shall strengthen your heart, all you hope in the Lord. You don't have to muster up strength. We are not that strong. We are actually very weak. We actually can't do anything. But if you put your hope in the Lord, he will strengthen you. I am stronger today than I was for the last 80 days because my hope shifted. I put my hope again upon Jesus Christ, him only, and strength started coming back into my soul. Psalm 42, verse 11, why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. 80 days of disquietness in my soul and a weariness in my body in a moment can be lifted once my hope is placed firmly on Jesus. Isaiah 40, verse 31, but those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Before I was drooping hands, feeble knees, pain, walking not in a straight path, lame, barely limping, in danger of being dislocated in my joints. But once my hope in Jesus was reestablished, now I am not walking, but I am running again. And don't we all, this Christian life is not a marathon. We say it's a marathon, but a marathon, you can kind of, you know, take your time and do a 10-hour marathon. I don't think Christian life is supposed to be a 10-hour marathon where you're doing a 20-minute mile and taking a lot of water breaks. It is a marathon in a sense, but we are sprinters. We are sprinters. We are running with the kind of intensity that Paul says, I don't beat the air, I've buffeted my body, and I'm running this race in a way to get the prize. I am sprinting toward the finish. And that all happens once the hope is reestablished in Jesus. Lamentations 3, verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I hope in him. Out of our greed, out of our misplaced desires, we put our hope in so many things. But in the end, we need to come to this conviction and confession. Jesus, you are my portion. Jesus, you're it. I don't need to look to anybody else, anywhere else. Jesus, you're it. And put your hope firmly upon Jesus. Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. God is a God of hope, and he wants to fill you and me with hope. And it's the power of the Holy Spirit that helps us to abound in hope. You know, we think the power of the Holy Spirit is to heal and to cast out demons and devils and to prophesy and to do these supernatural things. But here it is a power of the Holy Spirit so that we may abound in hope. And it is also so that with full joy and full peace, we believe in Jesus. We believe in Jesus. We trust in Jesus. We put all of our hope in Jesus. It's a power of the Holy Spirit to believe, to have a hope that abounds more and more in Jesus Christ. Hebrews 10, verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. How do you get a hope that does not waver? If you put your hope in things, in people, all people are fallible. People are unpredictable. People are up and down. Situations are up and down. And so if you put your hope in people or things, your hope will waver. But if you put your hope in somebody who does not waver, who's faithful, who's the same, as we read in Hebrews 13, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, forever. If you put your hope in this person and him alone, your hope will not waver. And I want to end with Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If your focus is shifted, and you focus on a person to help you, to improve your life, to bring joy to your life, if you put your hope in something, a situation that you think it's going to bring you peace and satisfaction, in the end, these things just weigh us down. And so when we used to run, now we are walking, and soon we are limping. Soon we are in danger of being dislocated. But if we put our hope in Jesus again, we fix our eyes and our heart and our ears upon Jesus, we are no longer limping, we're running again. It is a marathon that we're sprinting to the finish line. So I want to start where I began. Are you in a funk? Is there a fog? May the Lord, in this time of prayer as we end this service, start bring revelation. Ask the Lord, when did it start? When did it start? There's going to be a cause. There's going to be a reason why you're in a funk. It is not random. Ask the Holy Spirit to show it to you, and then he will convict you. It started here, and this is why it's a sin. You put your hope in somebody, something other than Jesus. If your hope was in Jesus, then you're good. Everything is good, always, all the time. Everything is good, always, all the time, if you have Jesus. Nothing in your life could be going well. Everybody else could say you're a loser, you're a fool, but if you're firmly fixed your gaze upon Jesus, you will hear his voice. You will not be dull of hearing. You will hear his voice. You will see him, you will hear him. He will shepherd your soul. And we will find ourselves running again, sprinting to the finish line with vigor, and arms raised and knees strong, with a straight path to the finish line, if you put your hope in Jesus and him alone. Okay, let's pray. If you're in a funk, let's just spend a moment asking the Holy Spirit, when did it begin? Has it been a day, a week, several weeks, 80 days, longer? When did it begin? May the Holy Spirit start bringing revelation. Did you put your hope in someone, something other than Jesus? And once He convicts you, repent of that sin. Say that you're sorry. Ask for forgiveness and recommit and say you're going to put your hope in Jesus again. Okay, let's pray. So sorry. I am so sorry that I put my hope in a job, in a promotion, in an assignment. I wanted to prove something to myself, to the world, seeking the praise of man, seeking some type of external validation. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. No wonder I was in a funk. No wonder I was dull of hearing. No wonder my hands drooped and my knees became feeble. Forgive me, Lord. You taught me such an important lesson. And you're teaching all of us. Jesus, you're it. Jesus, we put our eyes upon you, the author and finisher of our faith. We pray that you would speak again and our ears can be tuned to your voice again. Jesus, if we have you, if we put all of our hope in you, if by the power of the Holy Spirit we're abounding in hope, if by the power of the Holy Spirit we're holding on to Jesus and trusting in Jesus and believing upon Jesus, if Jesus, you're all that we have everything that we need. We're totally satisfied. There's nothing more, nothing more. We have everything. We are content. We have every reason to give thanks, every reason to worship, every reason to sprint straight toward the finish line. If we have Jesus, that's all that we need. Lord, help us. Help us. all the other desires, all the other hopes in this moment. May they drop off of us. May they weaken its grip upon our heart. May we hold fast to Jesus, the author and perfecter, the finisher of our faith. May you take some of us who are stuck in a miry clay. We don't know how to get ourselves unstuck, but Lord, we look to you. You're the only one who can pull us out. So Lord, whoever is stuck among us, we don't even have, they might not have a clue of how they got stuck. But Lord, in this moment, Jesus, may you reach down, pull them out of the miry clay, pull them out, deliver them from where they are. May they see you, hear your voice, even for the first time or the first time in a long while. May they hear your voice. May they sense that you're pulling them out. Thank you, Lord, for being so gracious. Thank you for restoring us. Thank you for being so gracious. I pray that you continue to minister to hearts as we pray and examine ourselves before partaking in the Lord's Supper. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'd like to receive prayer, if you'd like to accept Christ as your personal Savior, Lord, if you'd like to get baptized by immersion, become a member of this church, or just want to be encouraged by a fellow brother or sister, please come forward. We'd love to pray for you.
Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we surrender and we repent of all the ways that we have been distracted, worried, entertained, hopeful or hopeless in many things except for Jesus. So Father, we want to ask you, can you help us to turn our eyes back to you? Can you help us to love you more? Can you help us to turn our hope back to you, Lord Jesus? Father, there's many things that vie for our attention. And when we look at those things and hope in those things, our arms get weak. And so, Father, we repent before you for looking at so many other things and not putting our hope in Jesus alone. For you alone are our strength. You alone are the only source of good in our lives and this entire world. Father, forgive us for looking at how bad things are or how good things are and trying to fix things on our own. Lord Jesus, we surrender all of those things that have been distracting us, that have been making us look at other things. And we surrender and we repent of having our own way, our own will, our own plan. And Father, we ask you, would you please come into our lives and help us to meet you again, so much so, become so real to us that the past is forgotten. Father, we lay down all of our titles, or whether we're pastors or longtime Christians or born in the church or raised in the church, we lay all of those down before you right now, and we want to select all delete. We want to delete every, you know, bit of Christian knowledge or institutional thing that we might have and say, Lord, can you meet us once again? We come to you like babies. We ask you, Father, meet us, Lord Jesus. You are our lifeline. You are the source of everything good that we've already had, that everything that we can seek to have. And so come, please meet us again, Lord Jesus. We cry out to you. We lift up our hands to you. We proclaim there is no good except for you. And we commit ourselves to you one more time. Please meet us today in the rest of this fellowship. Help us to repent. Help us to pray. And help us to meet you one more time. In Jesus' name we pray.